Well, surprise, I'm back. It's my turn this morning. I'm excited to share God's word with you guys, to share a little bit of my testimony and just what God has done and who he really is. It's a privilege to be able to share with you all via Facebook Live like this. Just being able to communicate with the body of believers here at Horizon on a frequent basis, I know that God is using it, and he's blessing it. And we're praying that he's blessing you as well. We love you guys. Again, I want to say that over and over again, because it never hurts to hear you are loved. Not only do we love you, but oh my goodness, does God love you. He loves you very much. I just kind of want to share my brief testimony with you guys. I don't know if I've really ever shared my testimony at Horizon. I've shared parts of it with some of you. And so for those of you who have heard this before, I'm sorry. But, you know, God is still good. And I love the story that he's doing in my life and in the lives of those around us. Just a quick shout out to my mom. It's her birthday today. Hi, Mom. Happy birthday. I love you. All right. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for how good you are, that you are a living hope, Lord. We love you. We worship you this morning. Bless your word to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I just kind of want to share my brief testimony with you. I was saved at the age of 5. I grew up in a Christian home. I remember praying to ask Jesus into my heart when I was 5 years old with my dad on his bedside. And I'd kneeling next to his bed and saying, Lord Jesus, I want you to save me. I want to be a Christian. I want to follow you. And I remember there was this joy that came over me that morning. It's actually an evening that came over me, and I was so excited. I remember running down the hall and telling my brother, hey, I want you to know Jesus too. And I remember there was this excitement in my soul, an excitement in my person of how good God was. And I remember sharing him. I remember one time, I don't know if my mom will remember this or not, I was probably 6 or 7, I don't know. We were in the waiting room in a doctor's office, and I walked up to a complete stranger. We were in the pediatric section. I said, hey, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know that he loves you? And I don't know if that embarrassed my mom or not. Sorry. But I know that I had this fervor, this excitement for Jesus. And then some things changed in my life. As I got into grade school and up, I started to struggle with depression. Some of it was due to because I was bullied. I was bullied a lot. And I went to a Christian school. And so that kind of confused me a little bit. But it led me down a path of depression. And even, you know, all the thoughts that come along with depression. The Lord saved me from that, praise God. But it led me to a life, an area in my life where I really began to doubt how good God was. And I began to doubt that he could even love someone like me. I had let the lies of depression change me. I had no hope. I began to doubt if I was even saved. I had questions about God and about who God was. I remember it was high school, speeding up here through the testimony real quick. I was high school, maybe just after high school, that a friend of mine challenged me to just start reading the Bible. I had all these questions about whether or not God loved me. I was caught up in this lie of hopelessness. And he said, just read. Keep reading. Even if you don't feel anything, even if you don't sense anything from the Lord, just keep reading. Keep in the Word of God. Stay there. Don't leave until he speaks to you. I remember going home every night after work. I believe this was after high school. I was working at a grocery store, and every night after work, I would go home, and then I would go down the street to the coffee shop, and I would just start reading. I remember reading through the New Testament, the 4 Gospels in 1 week. And I was like, okay, Lord, I really want to hear from you. It was until I got to the book of 1 Peter that something caught my attention. I was in a bad place. I did not understand hope. And that's the scripture I want to share with you this morning. The scripture we're going to turn to today is 1 Peter chapter 1. This is my favorite passage. My absolute favorite passage. It's kind of why that last song we just sang still brings me to tears. Almost, not every time I sing it, but every so often. So let's read 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you will rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Lord, bless your word. Let's look at that together. Amen? Starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, according to his abundant mercy, his great mercy, has begotten us again, born again into a living hope. Peter starts off, Peter is writing to persecuted believers. He's writing to those who are suffering, who could potentially be on the verge of feeling hopeless. And he starts off his letter right away, right after his greeting, he says, you have been born again into a living hope. Not a dead hope based on your dead works, based on religious acts, based on feelings, because feelings come and go. You have been born again into the truth of who Jesus Christ is, this living hope. It is found in the person of Jesus Christ, who is alive. And not just alive, Jesus defeated death. He came back from the dead to give us hope, to give us life. Our hope is found, begun, made complete in the person of Jesus Christ. And he's reminding these believers, those who potentially are feeling hopeless, that we have a living hope in Jesus Christ. Not a dead hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, proving that we have the victory. Jesus defeated death. And when Jesus defeated death, and we have put our faith in Jesus Christ, it says here, we have been begotten again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance. What is this inheritance? Well, I know I can't earn an inheritance. I can't do enough to gain an inheritance. An inheritance comes to us. We receive it as a gift. We receive it by being a member of a family. We receive this inheritance that Peter is speaking about here because of Jesus Christ. He has begotten us again. We have been born into his family. To an inheritance. And what about this inheritance? Look at the next word. It's incorruptible. Incorruptible also could be said as imperishable. It doesn't die. There is no outside force or person that can change our inheritance in Jesus Christ. It doesn't change God's mind. No amount of slipping up, messing up in my life changes God's mind It's who he is. He promised us that he would never change. It's an incorruptible inheritance in Jesus Christ. Incorruptible. Nothing will cause it. No moth, no rust will destroy our inheritance in Jesus Christ. Look at the next word. It's undefiled. It means it's genuine. It's pure. It's without spoil. This is the real deal. This inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ is real. It's pure. It's reliable. And it does not fade away. This is an eternal inheritance. This is not something that's just going to disappear or walk out on us when we've messed up so many times in our life. And he said, well, I gave you guys your best shot. Apparently it wasn't good enough. No, it does not fade away. It doesn't change. It does not disappear or walk out on us. It is reserved in heaven for you. I love this line because it means it's out of reach. The inheritance we have in Jesus Christ was based not on our works at all, was it? No. Our inheritance was based on what? Our salvation is based on what? By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It's based on his work. We don't come to him based on our merits. We come to him by grace through faith. And if we've come to him by grace through faith, that means this inheritance, this salvation of ours, it's out of our reach. We had nothing to do with it. The only thing that we had to do with it was trust in him, because he's the one who did it all. To rely upon, to adhere to, as we're so constantly being reminded, because that is what faith is. To rely upon, to adhere to trust in Jesus. Reserved in heaven for you, who, verse 5, are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Look at that first word. It says, who are kept? Who? You and I, believers, we are kept by the power of God. Now that word kept, that's something a bit unique. It's not just the word, I'm gonna hang on to this for you. No, that is a military term. Like a knight that defends a castle. He keeps his castle. He keeps in defense. He keeps defending that castle. God is defending us. He keeps us. He defends us. Jesus stands before the Father, interceding for you and I. Remember, he stands before, and when the devil comes to make his accusations, look at so-and-so, look at Ed. Do you know what he thought today? Do you know what he did? You know what he did? And Jesus said, yeah, you know what I did? I paid for it. I paid the price. I paid in full all of Ed's mistakes. He is our living hope. Ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Guys, circumstances come our way. We're all aware, very well aware of circumstances right now. We don't understand what's going on. But you know what? We know that God is using this to make our faith more genuine. As we choose to go to him daily, daily, moment by moment, he's making our faith more and more genuine as we pursue and we press into him. Our circumstances are never promised to be easy. Various trials come our way. And that doesn't mean that God's out to get us. That's not his nature. It just means that we have an opportunity in those circumstances to trust in him. Verse 8, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Guys, all of this, this genuineness of our faith, this inheritance, this salvation, this living hope is all for his glory. We were designed to worship him. And as we put our faith in him, he is worshiped. As we put our trust in him, as we press into him in the middle of our circumstances, he is worshiped. It is to the praise of his glory. Read through Ephesians chapter 1. How many times it says, we are to the praise of his glorious grace, to the praise of his glory. We were designed to worship him. Receiving, verse 9, the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You see, we don't always know what God is doing. We don't always know the circumstances, but we always know this. We know where we stand with him. This is your inheritance. This is my inheritance. This is our inheritance in Jesus Christ. We have been born again into a living hope. Guys, I love you. We're praying for you. Pray that you keep pressing into Jesus in this time until we meet again. Love you guys. Have a great day. God bless.